Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0. Gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? It's Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. We're at the Monroe Superstore. Glad to have you on board in the showroom. A little deserted tonight. A lot of activity out there at the Monroe County Fair, though, with the Low Payment King and his staff. A lot of great things going out there, including an award-winning display last night. So glad to have you on board, everybody. Good guests lined up at 5:15 tonight. Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com. Again, I've said this in the past, nobody knows more about the Detroit Lions, their organization, than Mike O'Hara. 40-plus years covering the team. Again, Mike O'Hara, 5:15 tonight. Right here on Drive Time from Allen Park. 5:35 tonight, we're going to be talking to a young lady from New Boston, which isn't far from here. She plays college basketball at Gonzaga, but she just had a three-city tour of China with the United States All-Star Women's Basketball Team. We're going to talk to her about her experiences and some other things. Then our race preview this weekend coming up at 5:45 with Dennis Strickland. But Lions at 5:15 will take up the majority of this show tonight. A lot of questions to be asked in a lot of different areas about the Detroit Lions. Justin Verlander on revocable waivers yesterday, along with a lot of other guys, including Batista, of course, at Toronto. These are normally guys with big contracts and teams that have decided, you know, basically that they're out of it, and they just kind of do a little trolling to see what teams might be interested. But as soon as I saw the Justin Verlander situation on waivers, you know, I've been watching and reading a little bit about the Houston Astros, who, you know, right now have the best record in the American League, but a lot of their players went public. And it's very easy to go public now in this era, but really disappointed that Houston did not do anything at the trade deadline to drastically improve themselves, including some more pitching. So I know Dallas Keuchel came out, some other guys pretty critical of the front office. In a, if you can be critical in a respectful way, that's what happened. So I was just wondering when Al Avila, I'm sure this was already in the cards, that Justin Verlander was going to be placed on revocable waivers. But as soon as this story broke out of Houston, boy, Justin Verlander's name appeared on that waiver situation. So, again, what revocable waivers are this. Tigers put him on. If somebody should claim him, the Tigers have the rights to take him back. But they also have the rights to let this team take his entire contract and take his services. The third thing in this situation is the Tigers can say, listen, let's make a deal. And when they state that and they register that, they have 48 hours to make a deal with the team. Now, I don't expect much to happen. I saw some quotes today from Al Avila. Son's name's Avila. Haven't figured that one out as of yet. He basically said he doesn't expect a lot in Justin Verlander as well. How about this, though? Injuries, teams that are in contention, I mean, that's the real wild card here, a team that might lose another frontline starter. We know that the Los Angeles Dodgers did. They get Yu Darvish, of course, so we'll keep a close eye on that one as well. How about Jamer Candelario last night in his debut with the Toledo Mudheads down in Louisville? Of course, he was the part of the package, Alex Avila, and, of course, the Tigers making that deal with the Chicago Cubs. Justin Wilson going to the Cubs as well. Debut with the Hens last night. How about this? Home run and a double, big night for him. And, again, a guy that supposedly has a tremendous, tremendous glove and arm at third base, which leads to the story that we kind of talked about last week after the trade. What are the Tigers going to do with Nick Castellanos? Has one of the highest line drive rates right now in all of Major League Baseball, National League, American League. Bottom of the list of all the teams for defensive third baseman in baseball. So he can hit. He's a guy originally was a shortstop, played some outfield. So today, of course, story breaking out of Detroit Al Avila, very loyal to his guys, but said, listen, he's our third baseman. We're always investigating to get better. But with J.D. Martinez, and listen, Castellanos, I'll tell you what, I am impressed with the way he's hitting the ball. And as John Wagner said on this show the other night, he's 25 years of age. The Tigers will be able to control him for a number of years. Again, top three line drive rate in all of Major League Baseball. Tigers got to find a place for him to play, whether it's first base, maybe right field next year, again with the departure. Matuk looked pretty good in center field. Jacoby Jones there as well, so we'll keep a close eye on that situation. Also, the coaches poll, which I put the most faith in, you know, when it comes to college football, Alabama's number one, Ohio State two, Florida State three, USC four, Clemson five, Penn State 6. You know what? Give the Nittany Lions and that whole situation with that Jerry Sandusky thing and all the things that went on there, horrific stuff. And they've battled back, and a Big Ten team, number 6, Penn State. All other Big Ten teams, Michigan 9, Wisconsin 10. Hats off, everybody. University of Toledo, first coaches poll. They got one vote, so we'll keep a close eye on that one as well. You know, coming up here, I saw this today, too, and I mean, you know, not to get into the news cycle of what's going on, but I had the Golf Channel on today. I was watching, you know, a little bit of golf from Firestone. That's always intrigued me, mainly for XM and Sirius. I did a couple of golf tournaments for those folks, one of them at Firestone, and also was watching the Women's British Open. This was background noise today while I was working on the show from a course that I want to play someday in Scotland called King's Barnes. So I was texting a few friends of mine, take a look, spectacular. But the news also broke that on the 29th, that David Faraday, and I love his show, I love his interviews. If you're a golf guy, he's got such great guests and a great sense of humor. His 29-year-old son, his oldest child, passing away. You guessed it, 29, overdose, opiates, Dallas, Texas. This, my friends, is a scourge. 142 people a day that we're losing, and, you know, one a day in Columbus. And I know it's a situation here in Toledo as well that, and well, listen, Southeast Michigan, Toledo, you can't pick up paper. You can't read the obits. It is really just something we got to get a handle on. I mean, it is ruining a whole segment of our population. You know, into the same newscast here, without getting into it, but these are things that intrigue me. Afghanistan, another fatality in the war against terror in Afghanistan. 9 lives have been lost in 2017 in a war. 23 homicides in Toledo to this date. Think about those things. But again, our thoughts with one of my favorites, David Faraday, and the loss of his son. That was the Reed Funeral Home Report, of course, on the Detroit Tigers. We move on. Michael Hara right around the corner. The Low Payment King, as always, is the sponsor and the driver of this show. Vito's Pizza, by the way. We'll bring you Michael Hara after this.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. Talked a lot of A lot of baseball this week, even talked with Red Wing personnel. We've talked some hockey as well. I've been around the gamut, and we're going to talk a little Detroit Lions football. Of course, we are a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Joining us now from Allen Park is Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com. I read a lot of him today on that particular website. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Keep reading. We need you.
Hey, I just got off the phone with an old friend of yours, by the way, and Paul Wood says hello.
Oh, Woody, the hockey player. Yeah, what a terrific guy. I still listen to him and Ken Gale on the radio. It's fun hearing him.
Well, he told me that you covered a little hockey in your heyday, and I did not know that, so I learned something today talking a little hockey with Paul Woods, who is home taking care of his mom, by the way, who had a fall. So a good man indeed. Hey, first things first, I was thinking about this, and I apologize with the way my mind worked. Does Matt Stafford drive a Ford?
Well, he does commercials for Ford, so I'm sure he does, yeah. Why do you ask?
Well, I'm figuring he's up for this $125 million-plus contract from the Ford family. I would think that, you know, he's a guy that would be seated behind a Ford vehicle just from a loyalty standpoint. So I'm guessing he does.
Well, you're guessing right because he does commercials for Ford. But, you know, there's a bright line drawn between any commercial dealings that players have between, for example, I think it's called the Metro Detroit Ford Dealers and the Detroit Lions. It's all part of the National Football League and the salary cap and all that. But, you know, players cut deals with whoever they can. You know, Golden Tate's got a commercial deal with something other than the Ford Motor Company if they want to pay for advertising, let them call.
Nope, I get it. Just a lesson learned. I remember years and years ago when we were both young men, I was making a sales call here in Toledo for someone to support our broadcast. It was the UAW, and I drove in a Volvo. I learned a lesson there, you know, maybe to borrow a car the next time I did something along that line. So that's how my mind works with Matt Stafford and the Ford. Hey, also, Mike O'Hara, speaking of Fords, Martha Ford, we understand, of course, visited the practice facility there in Allen Park, got a standing ovation. I'm guessing that you know her pretty well from your coverage of the team over the years, but it's nice to see her, well, number one, showing up and saying hello to everybody.
Yeah, she's in her early 90s, as you know, and what an energetic woman. I don't know if you were at that Taste of the Lions event. They have it every year at Ford Field. She was there signing autographs, shaking hands, the whole thing. If you get a chance, there's a video. It's a really cool video on DetroitLions.com, our website, of her greeting Jared Davis, the Lions' first-round draft pick, when he came to the facility. It was either on draft day or the next day, and there she is greeting Jared Davis, telling him how much she wanted to meet his family. In they come, his mother and father. It is really a neat thing, this, you know, diminutive woman, immaculately, you know, dressed and all of that, and just as energetic as they come. It's really, I keep saying cool, it is a very, very cool thing.
No, I'm going to do that soon as well. Maybe when we get in a commercial break and take a look at this. Hey, I had Jared Davis on my list, Mr. Mike O'Hara. Tell me about it. How's he been to this point?
Well, he looks good, you know, and they have, you know, they've been in pads, I think, like a day and a half so far, getting to the end of the first week. And everything I see about him is he's just a natural middle linebacker and a really, I think he's going to be a really good leader. You know, one of the things I look at, I was talking to Chris Spielman about this yesterday. Chris was visiting practice. He's going to be doing the preseason TV games, and he's going to be doing three and out with me on the website. And I was talking to him about Jared Davis, and it's not exactly football, but, you know, he always talked about your leaders being your best athletes, and it's usually quarterbacks, you know, who are the shortstop and the point guard and all of that and the quarterback growing up. Jared Davis was at a charity softball function hosted by Sam Martin here at Wayne State about a month ago, and he was taking grounders at second base. He looked like a second baseman, Mike. He really did. I'm talking about flexibility, movement, fluidity, hands, the whole thing. And I asked Spielman if that meant anything. Yeah. He said, the more athletic you are, the better. And he just has it.
No, that's good news as well. And speaking as Mike O'Hara joins us here on Drive Time and the Vito's Pizza phone line, Does a guy by the name of Storm Norton, and I like your byline here, he was on the field yesterday when the thunderstorm started. Does a guy, but he's a Toledo Whitmer guy, for crying out loud, my old alma mater. Again, I won't say what year I graduated, but he's a tremendous story. Listen, left tackle, maybe the second most important position on the football field. And it's a long jump from Whitmer High School to the University of Toledo, but I saw his name in your publication and in others, a story about a gentleman that totally transformed his body into a college football player. Was a little, I'll put it this way, a little soft years ago, but hats off to him for at least being in the mix.
Well, I'd be surprised if he's, well, I'd be shocked if he's the opener, the starter on opening day. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But here's what happens. Things happen to people in front of you, and you get shuffled up in the rotation, and it's up to you to take advantage of your opportunity. Now, we're talking about an undrafted rookie free agent who all of a sudden has taken some reps with the first unit at left tackle. Why? Because Taylor Decker's out for the time being with an injured right shoulder. Greg Robinson just got there. Cyrus Kwanjo just got there. So, you know, guys get into the rotation. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, that he's moved into that far up the pecking order, but he's getting reps in that regard. And you know, you've got to take advantage of your opportunity. I think really he has a chance to make the practice squad, which would be a big deal for an undrafted kid from Toledo. It's just the way, Mike, the way things stack up in terms of depth and veteran players and who else they have on the offensive line. And they're not going to keep four offensive tackles or four left tackles. In fact, they might only keep three or four total in the final cut. But he's got a chance to show himself. I'll reference something that I was on the Packers website about a week ago to look at Aaron Rodgers. Did about a 10-minute interview when he reported to camp, and somebody asked him what he tells young players. He says, "I tell them all, do something extraordinary, get noticed." Well, Storm Norton, do something extraordinary, get noticed.
Yep, 6'8", over 300 pounds, and went to high school about, 10 minutes from here. So that's one of the things we wanted to touch on today. Speaking of which, Michael Roberts, tight end, University of Toledo. For the folks that, I'll guarantee, are stuck in traffic someplace in Toledo right now, little update on another Toledo guy. I know Eric Ebron is not practicing. Michael Roberts, you use the term reps. Getting a few reps, and how's he looked?
Well, he looked pretty good. He had a tough day the other day, but that, look, tight end is a tough position to play. You know, as Wayne Fonts used to say, the best tight ends are the National Basketball Association. Because if you can play tight end in the NFL, you can play basketball in the NBA. That's an exaggeration, but it's not that far off when you consider guys like Tony Gonzalez, who's headed for the Hall of Fame, was a basketball player first. But you know, as a matter of fact, I'm doing something on Michael Roberts that's going to run probably this weekend, and he's taking this really seriously. Look, you know his background. He had 16 touchdown catches, 45 catches as a senior in 2016. He's a big kid with the biggest hands of any rookie this year, 11-inch hands, so he should be able to catch the ball. You know, they've really retooled the tight end position. Ebron is still the receiving tight end, but they signed Darren Fells, a veteran out of Arizona, to be the blocking tight end. But he's got more receiving skills than they probably even counted on. But there's a chance for somebody else to make a mark there. Now, Michael Roberts is going to be on the roster, don't get me wrong. But he's got a chance to, you know, to really make some kind of a mark, and he's taken it seriously. He said a couple of days ago in an interview, a group interview with the media, that, you know, he used to get up at 6:30 to get over here an hour early to go through his things before the start of practice, because he's stressed. It's the extra stuff you do that's going to help you. Well, he doesn't get up at 6:30 anymore. He gets up at 6 o'clock, and he gets an hour and a half early, not an hour earlier. So to me, that shows that he's taken this opportunity, whatever he has, seriously, and he wants to maximize it. It's a good sign for any player. It's a great sign for a rookie.
No question about it. We'll be reading that update on Michael Roberts as well. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We're a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. We're talking to Mike O'Hara on the Vito's Pizza phone line. What's going on in that backup quarterback position? I read a little bit today, Mike O'Hara, on Brad Kaye, a guy, of course, who, well, his dad's a screenwriter. His mother's a former actress in Hollywood, and all of a sudden we're reading about the things he did at the University of Miami, of course, down in Florida. And, of course, Jake Rudock, the other guy. We have the Michigan Wolverines in our cumulus cluster, by the way, as well. So give us an update on the backup job.
Well, I think Jake has clearly got the inside track. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And really, when you think about it, it actually is pronounced Kaya. Brad Kaya has 3 years of experience at Miami of Florida as a starter. And, you know, there were mixed reports on him coming out. Obviously, a sixth-round draft pick, that would indicate more people didn't like him than did, because he would have been a, if more people like him, he would have gone earlier. But the Lions see something in him, you know, that, you know, a starter at a major college program for 3 years, that means something. Well, the other part of that, though, is that Jake Rudock, when you really think about it, going into this season, has got 6 years of big-time football preparation behind him. 4 years at Iowa, a year at Michigan, and last year with the Detroit Lions is really the de facto number three quarterback all year, even when he was on the practice squad. So that's 6 years of you know, terrific coaching, weight work, and all that with Kirk Ferentz's staff, first at Iowa, then Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, then, you know, Jim Caldwell and the Lions training staff last year here in Detroit. So he really should have the advantage, and I think he does. He made a really neat play at the end of practice yesterday, near the end of practice. There, he was running a number one offense in the red zone drill, and he kind of broke free, Jake did, and spotted Zach Center and just threw a shovel pass, you know, for a touchdown. And he was kind of kidding him after us. Was that a two-hand chest pass? And he says, ah, one hand, you know. And I think he's starting to develop some things that could make him the backup quarterback. But look, there's still, you know, a week and a half before the first preseason game. Anything can happen. Guys get better. Sometimes guys can't always handle opportunity. It's happened before. We'll see how that develops. But I would be surprised if it's not Jake.
Again, thanks for the pronunciation update on Brad Kaya. I always appreciate that. Thank you very much. How about the anything going on at running back? That was a bugaboo last year, no doubt about it. Amir Abdullah, give me a little update on him. Have you seen any flashes of brilliance that we all are hoping to see before too long?
Well, before I give myself any credit for being a name linguist, Chris Spielman's the one who squared me away on Kaya because I kept calling him Kaya. So that's why I know that. Running back, Amir Abdullah looks terrific, and he's a playmaker. You know, he's a very, very highly skilled player. And when he went, look, he played six quarters of football last year before he went out with a foot injury, got hurt late in the first half of a loss to the Tennessee Titans. You know, he was on course. Look, he's not going to be Earl Campbell or he's going to pound you to death, but he's skilled. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball, and he's a threat every time he touches the ball. He was on course, if you just extrapolate his numbers that he had in six quarters, to really have about 1,700 yards from scrimmage last year. I'll take that any day from anybody in the backfield. Theo Riddick, as you know, went out late in the season with wrist injuries, required surgery. They only had those two guys, their two most, you know, their two really playmakers in the backfield together for six quarters of football last year. Now, the other part of it is, you know, late in the season, Zach Zenner really emerged as a guy that who can be, I think, a good short yardage runner, a guy who can help you, you know, milk the clock at the end, get first downs, and run out the clock. So if Amir stays healthy, which I'm counting on him doing that, he played all 16 games as a rookie, got hurt last year, everybody kind of falls into the slot they're supposed to be in. They're not, you know, being asked to do things that really might be just slightly above, you know, what their job skill, their athletic skill says they ought to do. I think the Lions will be better in the running game, and to me that's vital. You know, look, Mike, we've beat this to death over and over and over, but the statistic that Matthew Stafford has had 7 100-yard individual rushing games in 8 years as the starting quarterback of the Detroit Lions, to me, you could not do that on purpose. You really couldn't. It's been the weak spot of this team for so long. It's time to fix it. I think they've got it fixed this year.
Final question. Martha Ford got a standing ovation when she made her way into Allen Park. How about, I'm sure Barry Sanders turned a few heads when he showed up.
Yeah, he did. And as you know, Barry's been officially reunited with the franchise in some sort of ambassador role, and really nobody better. He's first of all, one of the three greatest players in the history of the franchise, along with Joe Schmidt and Bobby Lane. I mean, that's the triumvirate, the troika, whatever you want to call it. And then you can, you know, name another 15 guys for number four, whoever you want to pick out. But Barry, and he's just, he's amazingly a smart guy. He's high class. He's clever. He's warm hearted. He's everything you want your superstar to be. And now that he's part of the franchise, Mike, I think it's a win, 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 win.
Good stuff. We'll be reading, Mike. Thank you for taking the time in a busy week. I appreciate you coming on. And as a Detroit Lion network station, we appreciate the update. Talk to you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I can't wait to talk to you again, Mike. Thanks.
That's Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com. He's at Allen Park with the Lions. I saw the Lions over-under today, 8 wins. So if you wanted to make any money, they would have to win 9. That might scare me just a little bit. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, back with more after this.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, coming to you from the Monroe Superstore tonight. As always, a show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. Did the commentary tonight. Talked about Justin Verlander, of course, being placed on revocable waivers. Also up at Allen Park in Detroit, where the Detroit Lions are in training camp, gearing up for their first exhibition game. Got an update on what's going on up there, including Toledo native Storm Norton. Joining us now from Spokane, Washington. I think I pronounced that correctly, only because I spent a little time out there. Kiera Kudron. Did I pronounce that right, Kiera?
You sure did. You nailed it.
Well, listen, thanks a lot for taking the time, and I want to talk to your trip, you know, about the trip you took with the USA All-Star team over to China. But I'm such a nosy and inquisitive guy here, Kiera. I want to know a couple of things. I spent time in Spokane in 1980. Have you ever had a cold draft beer in the Bulldog Tavern?
Oh, we sure have. Yeah, it's it gets pretty cold up there.
Well, I got to tell you, I was there in the hockey industry years ago, and my next question is this. Whose statue is on the Gonzaga campus?
Oh, goodness.
Bing Crosby.
There we go. Yeah, good job.
I just thought I would throw that in, and that's more in my age group as well. To make a long story short, I was there for 3 months. The hockey team folded, and I headed back to this area. But congratulations on a tremendous trip to China. The U.S. squad went 7-2. I had to laugh, Kiera Kudron. You're talking about the food, and you said, lo and behold, we found a McDonald's in China, and what an oasis that was.
We did, yeah. The food definitely was not the best. But, you know, they had some rice and noodles, kind of some random chicken here and there, like sweet and sour. But, yeah, when we got to our second city, we went to McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which probably wasn't the best for athletes' bodies. But we had to, you know, get some kind of carbs or some kind of, I don't know if it was even fake meat, who knows, but it tasted good to us, so it worked.
Hey, tell me a little bit about, you know, how somebody from New Boston end up out in Spokane. I used to hang around Coeur d'Alene a little bit over there, east of there. But tell me how you ended up going to Gonzaga and the career out there and how this, obviously you were recruited and had a pretty good high school career. How'd that come together?
There's actually a guy, his name was John Newman. He was from Michigan and then he moved out to Spokane, Washington. And we were at a an apple orchard. We, like, helped work out an apple orchard, and we were at a Halloween party, and he came up to me and my family and said, have you ever heard of Gonzaga University? And at that time, I had never heard of them. I knew they were kind of like a basketball school, but I still wasn't, like, in tune with them. And I said, no, and he said, I'll have to get a hold of the head coach for you. So he ended up getting a hold of Kelly Graves at the time, and they contacted me, and then they came out to one of my high school games at airport, and I went on a few unofficial visits and absolutely loved it there. I loved everything about it. The games were amazing. They averaged like 5,500 fans and just the atmosphere. At the time, the coaches all had some type of family, whether they were, you know, 2-year-olds or just born, and then Kelly Graves at the time, he had 15-year-old and then two younger kids, so they were definitely family-oriented, and I knew that's what I wanted going so far away from home and being so close with my family. So that's how I ended up here.
Well, speaking of which, is your family make, I'm going to guess that's a 2,000-mile trip anyways. Is your family made it out to Gonzaga to watch you play on any occasions?
Lucky enough, my mom is a flight attendant, so my family gets the opportunity to fly for free. So they have made it to quite a few home games, and they're able to go to Las Vegas for our tournament and a few other away games. So I was very blessed to be able to have my family come and support the Zags.
Well, with your mom then in New Boston, of course, pretty close to Metro Airport, I'm sure that was by design as well. Hey, you averaged 8 points and 7.5 rebounds per game in the tournament. You didn't start the first game but worked your way into the lineup, so hats off to you for being persistent. Tell us about Tell us about basketball in China.
It's not too different. The main difference is the key is just a little bit wider. And then the three-point line is a little bit further back. It's not too different. And then they have one rule where if you have the ball at half court, you have to be on, like, the opposite. So in American basketball, we can go to, like, the opposite side of half court to get the ball. But there you have to stay on the same side. So we got dinged a little bit for that. We did that probably two or three times just because we were so used to getting open on the opposite side of half court. But it was a great experience. We were really lucky. We went to three different cities and sold out. I think every game we had about 3,000 or 3,500 fans, and the fans were great. The only really bad thing about it was they were smoking in the gym while we were playing, so it was a little hard to breathe. There was no, like,
you know,
there no smoking signs all over, but they didn't care. So that was probably the hardest thing for us.
No, I mean, that is just, I mean, that is absolutely unbelievable. I remember a day broadcasting hockey, even going into Quebec when the Nordiques were playing, that, you know, we'd be up in the broadcast booth, and this, again, is 20 years ago. All the writers would be up there in the Montreal area smoking in the press box, which now, of course, would be unheard of. Hey, you're talking about going to Europe to play professionally. Tell me a little bit about that, if you could.
I am very excited. I'm going to a team called Baloncesto Leganés, and it is in Madrid, Spain. And probably the thing I'm excited about is definitely the experience and getting to meet new people, of course, and be a part of another family, because especially going far away from home, you know, having that family atmosphere will be great. But the most important thing for me is the culture change. It's going to be a little different, but I think it's really important as a person and an individual to, you know, have that experience where you feel uncomfortable and have to learn to adapt to it. So I think it'll be a really good growing experience for me, and that's probably what I'm looking forward to. But I looked on the roster, and we have a few older gals. There's like a 32-year-old on our team, and one of them has two kids, so it'll be great for me to play with older girls and younger girls and just kind of see how different it is over there versus being in America.
Now, we're going to hold on to your contact information. You know, I walked in here last week, and the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, here, who loves sports. We've done this ESPN show from his showroom now, Kiera, for 5 years, and he showed me the story in the Monroe News about your trip to China, and that's why we reached out to you. And thank you for coming on. Somewhere down the road, we might touch base again just to see how you're doing in Europe, and keep up the good work, and thank you for taking the time.
Awesome. I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Kiera Kudrun, plays at Gonzaga. U.S. National team, went 7-2 over in China. And New Boston, I'm going to say probably about, I don't know, 10 miles from the Monroe area here. So hats off to her as well. Back, a little motorsports update with Dennis Strickland after this. Drive Time, all of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Glad to have you on board. Talk some Lions with Mike O'Hara. They're in training camp up at Allen Park. Special thanks to Kara Kudron from New Boston. She's going to go play professional basketball in Europe, represented the United States in a trip to China. Big weekend of racing coming up Saturday night out at Toledo Speedway. It's the Miller Lite 100, fueled by Marco's Pizza. ARCA Outlaw Late Model Gold Cup, that's 100 laps and more. And a familiar name to this show, Dennis Strickland out of Carleton, Michigan, joins us now. Late model driver, he runs for Central Transport, the PB Fab of Toledo. He'll be in action Saturday night. Hello, Dennis, four-time champion.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're doing great. Tell me about Saturday night, and what are you doing to get ready?
Well, we actually just came back from the racetrack this afternoon and went down there, did a little testing, and worked on getting the car faster so that we got a shot at winning that thing on Saturday.
You know what? You know a little bit about winning. Four-time champion at Toledo. You won the Glass City 200 in 2013. Five career wins in Toledo. Four Gold Cup Series titles, by the way. You've won at Flat Rock. You've won all over. Geez, what makes you tick?
Well, just a love for the sport and having the passion, you know, to attack it and try to do the best that we can do and, you know, represent our sponsors like we need to be doing and just trying to have fun while we're doing all that, you know.
Dennis, tell me a little bit about Saturday's race. Is there anything unique about it going into that race? Of course, that starts at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, Toledo Speedway. What stands out? What's the DNA of this race?
Well, it's 100 laps, and, you know, Toledo Speedway is a high-bank half mile, and, you know, these outlaw late-model race cars, they do about 140 mile an hour plus down the straightaway. So you're diving in the corner, you know, with that kind of speed, and you might be slowing up to 120 in the corner. So, you know, the speed is so high at that little place that, you know, it takes some experience and good car set up and a fast race car to run out front of, you know, a racetrack that's that fast.
Now you mentioned, you know, the Toledo Speedway. I got to tell you, Dennis Strickland joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. You know, you've talked about Toledo Speedway and the amount of speed you can work on that track. You've ran in the Super Speedway races as well a number of times at ARCA. Tell me about a driver adjusting. I mean, I guess it's not tough for you. You're a professional, but to a layman like myself, going from a super speedway like MIS down to the half mile, what's the most important ingredient that you have to adjust to?
Well, when I went from running short track to some of the bigger speedways like that, the thing that I really noticed is, like in Michigan, in an ARCA car, we were probably doing, oh, that car was driving probably 185, 190 mile an hour in the straightaways. And one thing that I noticed that was kind of unique was, you know, the flagman's up there and he's waving that flag, but you don't hardly see him because you're going by him so fast. And so that's kind of funny that, you know, the flagman has his job to do up there, but we really don't pay too much attention to him. You know, we mainly just go by the lights and what the spotter says. And I will tell you, 190 mile an hour feels like 190 mile an hour. So,
let me tell you something. Kenny Schrader had me in his car out there at Toledo Speedway. I think it was a couple, maybe two, three summers ago, and we were going nowhere's near that, and nowhere's near the 140 that you talked about. I'm guessing somewhere around 100 miles an hour. That was enough for me. I enjoyed it, but doing it on a daily basis was a whole other thing. Hey, listen, thanks for coming on. Good luck Saturday night in the Miller Lite 100 down at Toledo Speedway. Dennis, as always, race well, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having us on here, and you all come down and watch this race. It's going to be a pretty good show.
Might see me out there. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Dennis Strickland running the Miller Lite 100 Toledo Speedway. That will be on Saturday night. Back to close it out after this.